series, and this is our second week of that. And I feel like I'm off center here. I don't know. Maybe it's that little OCD part of me, but there. Is that right? Okay, we're good. All right. Well, some churches, you know, they am off to the side, but yeah, I'm not too big into that. So, yeah, all right. So we talked last week. Does anybody remember what did we talk about? Who we are in Christ, right? And the benefit that we have, every spiritual blessing. And if you take some time to look at that, that whole thing lays the groundwork for what we're going to talk about this week. And we're going to talk, Paul kind of says, in light of all this stuff I just said, this is what I'm doing now. In light of all these blessings, what does Paul then do? And does anybody have any idea? Any of you that know Ephesians? What does Paul do right after this in Ephesians 15 through 23? He prays, right? He says, in light of all this, I'm going to pray for you. And he is praying that they may know. Okay, so if you're thinking of a phrase, pray that you and the church may know what you are and have. Pray that you and the church may know what you are and have. Now, I had a friend in college, this guy in my hall, he knew a lot. Any baseball fans in here? Any Indians fans after this weekend? No, I'm just kidding. They had quite a winning streak, but I think we had some of our members went up there, and they think that they're to blame for the loss, but I don't know. I doubt that. I think it's the Indians' fault. But they had the new record right now, longest winning streak or most runs, something like that. But this friend of mine, he knew every baseball stat all the way back to 1960s. And I remember we used to quiz him just to see if we could stump this guy. And he would know someone's ERA and batting average way back when. He was a virtual encyclopedia of baseball. And I don't know if you've ever seen some of those books, you know, with all the stats. I don't know, did this guy read this to go to bed or something? I mean, why was he so interested in that? But he knew that. But did he know Babe Ruth? Did he know Ty Cobb? Did he know even any of these baseball players personally, do you think? No. He knew all about them, but he didn't know them. And so when we look at this, where Paul is talking about knowing, he's talking not about knowledge, but to know God. And often Scripture will say, like, a husband knows his wife, you know, when they get married. It was a very intimate knowledge. And so what Paul's prayer is in this second part of chapter 1 is that not only would we know about all these blessings that we have in Christ, but that each and every of those believers would know, would experience, would live in these amazing things, these every spiritual blessing. So why don't you turn with me to Ephesians 1. We're going to read that now. I'm reading from NIV here today, but whatever version you have, I think there will be something up there. But if you do have your Bible, it's always good to... We do this sometimes in the youth group or the Kids Connect sword drills, right? So I could do a sword drill today with you guys. You know, hold it up by the binding and go. Find Ephesians. So Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. I'm going to read that. For this reason... So he's saying, in light of all this stuff we talked about last week, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, he does a little aside here, so let's go with him on that. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, we were talking last week about how the first, like from verse 3 to 13 or whatever, or 3 to 14 was one big sentence in Greek. And this is another big sentence. Paul goes on this tangent, and it's a lot of little sentences for us in English, but this is one big long sentence of dependent clauses piled on top of one another. So he's I don't know if you've ever been to a church where, I know I had a friend who was African-American, and I went to his church down in the Bronx once, and they would say that when the preacher gets going, he starts whooping. I don't know if you've heard that, but he would just start going, and it was amazing. He would go through Scripture and just unpack this concept, and that's what Paul's doing here. He is just getting so excited. He can't stop himself, and he's talking and sharing because he is so concerned that they would know this. So imagine, as you pray for others, do any of you pray for others ever? Yeah. I know I fall into this habit. Lord, bless so-and-so. Lord, bless so-and-so. Lord, bless so-and-so. It starts becoming a list, and you start just kind of hoping you can get through it and not fall asleep or whatever. But what he's saying is that this is something you can pray for everybody all the time with multiple times. He's saying, I'm doing this always, continuously for you. So his desire is that his brothers and sisters in Christ would what? No. You know, we can mentally know, but we I don't know how many of you, I've always heard the distance from the head to the heart is one of the longest distances there is. Right? You may grow up in church like Ethan here. I get to pick on him today. He knows a lot. But my prayer is that you, Ethan, would know God in your heart. My prayer for all of the youth, but not only for youth, but you guys, is that you might not just be filled with knowledge. So when you go to another Bible study, that you wouldn't just, like my friend, pile up facts that you can trivialize and spit out, but that each time you study the Bible or meet with others, that you would get to know God better. Not about God. Now, it's good to learn things about him, but if we don't know him, that's a big problem. Like, look at what he says here at the very beginning of this passage, and this is point one, if you're taking notes. What makes you a believer? Know what makes you a believer. What does Paul say here? For this reason, ever since I heard about your what? Faith in what? Your Lord Jesus. And your what? Love for all the saints. And I was looking at another message another preacher did on this, but he said, the way you know that you have this is there is a step of faith in Jesus, but it's not just knowledge. It results in transformation, that you have the love of Christ for others. And sometimes we see people say, it doesn't matter what you believe, it's being a loving person. They're only getting half of it, right? And then you see people say, all that matters is what you believe, and they're a big old jerk. No, they don't love anybody. But it's like this knowledge of God should transform you and I to be lovers of God and lovers of others. And he said, when I heard about both of these things happening in you, what did he say there? I have not stopped giving thanks. Because you get it. You've gotten it. But my prayer is that now you realize what you have. Sometimes, I don't know if you've experienced this. I accepted the Lord when I was 7. And sometimes we forget all the benefits we have in Christ. We get so used to just kind of living in our own strength. We get to a point where we're kind of somewhat self-sufficient and we're just going along okay, and we forget all that we have. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't forget this stuff. Live in this stuff. Let it be who you are. Number two, pray that you and the church may know God better. That was his first prayer. Pray that you may know God. Verse 17. He's saying, in light of this, the fact that you have accepted this Jesus as Lord and Savior in faith, and that you are now loving one another, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation for what? So that you may know him better. Sometimes we just want to, we think there's got to be more than knowing God. There's some mysteries or secret things I got to learn, and ancient Hebrew and all this other stuff. But he's saying, no, it's not like the Gnostics, these mystery religions. They always say there's some little secret thing you got to learn. It's like, the secret is knowing me. The secret is knowing me. Amen. Knowing God. Amen. So he's not praying that they grasp all this other stuff. He's saying, I pray that you will know God. So the question is, do you know him? Not just knowing about him, but intimate, personal relationship. You might have been coming to church here or somewhere else for a long time, but do you know him? Do you have relationship with him? One exercise, you know, I was just in Nepal, and one of the exercises we do there, I don't know about you, but when you pray, sometimes I pray and I don't even picture God. I just am saying words. And we do this exercise where we say, imagine you're in a place that you feel very safe because God is safe now with Christ. And imagine Christ is coming in there. Picture him. And he's sitting down next to you. What do you want to say to him? What does he want to say to you? Is that how your prayer life is? Or is it just going through a list of stuff to deliver? Like you're going like a herald before the high throne and pulling open your scroll and declaring a bunch of things and then leaving. Or do you meet with him? Now, I couldn't find the clip, but I remember seeing a clip a while back where they have this guy dressed like Jesus, like we kind of picture Jesus, you know, with a beard and a white robe, and he's sitting in a coffee shop. And so Jesus is sitting there, and this guy walks in, and he's got his bag and his day timer, and the coffee shop's bustling, and he sits down, and he says, "Hey, Jesus," and he starts talking, and Jesus can't even get a word in edgewise. And then he pulls out his notebook, he's like, "And Jesus, this, and that, and he's going through his big old list. And then he's like, "Well, hey, good talking to you. I'll see you later." And he gets up, and Jesus is still trying to get a word in. Is that yours and my prayer life? Do we meet with God? Do we know him? Do you let him speak to you? Do you say, "Hey, Lord, well, you are Lord, so that means you're the boss, right? What do you want me to do today?" I love how Julie, I don't know if Julie's here with us today, but Julie Parsons will always say this. She'll say, "I go to God and ask for my marching orders." Do you ever go to God and say, "Hey, God, I got this plan for today, but let me lay this plan before you and say, hey, what do you want for this day?" Or one thing we did in Nepal, these pastors, and this was quite telling, we would say, "Lord, what sin do you want to work on today in my life?" Do you ever ask that of him? Or, "God, what lie in my life am I believing that you want to maybe shed some truth on? What wound in my heart do you want to heal today?" Do you ever go to him and let him speak into your life? So, number two, pray that you may know him better. Number three, and you may think there's going to be a bunch, but there's only 2 points here, or 3 points, but this one has a lot under it. The second half of this, it's a big, long sentence, but as I looked at this and was reading on this, pray that you and the church may know your purpose. And I want you to see that all these "yous" in here are not singular. So we tend to read Ephesians like it's for me. Me. But it's for you. Plural. Yous. As they say in Jersey. Y'all. You guys, as we say in Ohio. Okay. This is "you guys." So if you want the Ohio translation, every time he says "you," he's going, "You guys." Okay. So pray that you may know your purpose. And what is your purpose? Like, this big long sentence, if you look at the end of it, 23, it culminates in Christ doing something for who? Who is it for? The church. And Ephesians is about the church. And so this is the first time Paul says the word church here. And you see this huge litany, and Christ is bringing everything in order, but it's talking about all creation, but it's saying the church is his body, not creation. The church. And it kind of hit me. I had never seen that before. I don't know if you have this, where you've read a passage your whole life, and you see it and you go, "Have I ever read this before?" That's how I felt. I was like, "Did I ever read this?" Let's look at that at the end. It says, "Now to him who is able..." Wait, no, I'm in Ephesians 3. Sorry. Ephesians 1. "And God placed..." Verse 22. "And God placed all things under his feet." He's talking about Christ. "And appointed him to be head over everything for" what?
"The church."
"The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Now, If you do a study on that last sentence, there's like books written on it. It's hard. What does that mean? Does that mean that we are fulfilling Christ or that Christ is fulfilling us? Is it the middle voice or the active? There's a lot of debate on that. But from best I could see, it's we don't have anything to add to Christ. It doesn't seem like that's the bent of this passage. But that he is fleshing this all out through the church. So I encourage you, that's a great passage to study in depth. There's a lot written on it. So you could dig and dig and dig there. It's a pretty deep well. But everything before that is related to the church. So let's unpack this a bit. The knowledge of that you have a hope. So you see that there? So I pray, in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart, that's the only time that's used in Scripture, but the eyes of your heart, your spiritual eyes. Do you do that before you read the Word? Did you know that when you accept the Lord and you receive the Holy Spirit, He gives you spiritual eyes. He opens the eyes of your heart that when you read God's Word, things are going to jump out at you. Have you had that happen? That it's not just a bunch of facts or stories, but that He has a word for you that day. I can't tell you how many times I will say, Lord, speak to me before I read His word. He will speak. And it's not a 2,000-year-old dusty speaking. It's a rhema for today. This is His logos, but He will speak a rhema, a present word for today. So I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Why? In order that you may know. And now He lists three things. So this is that same, not just head knowledge, that you as a church may experience your purpose. And what is your purpose? Number one, knowledge that you have a hope. Your near future is secure. Your eternal future is guaranteed. You have a hope. I don't know if you watch those Hollywood Insider or any of that, but I just happened to be flipping around the other weekend. They did an interview with Jim Carrey that went really weird. I don't know if you saw that. Did anybody see that? And they were like, is he mentally ill? What's going on with this guy? But basically he's saying, everything's meaningless. He was spinning around, and I'm not me, and it was just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. But that's where we often will end up. If we don't have Christ, we don't have a hope. We start to become like the Ecclesiastes writer who eventually says, everything's meaningless. It's all vanity if I don't have a hope in Christ. But you and I have a secure present hope and eternal hope. Number two, he says, the knowledge that you are the riches of the inheritance. And what's interesting is here, often we think of what we are receiving, but if you look at the beginning part of Ephesians and how this all translates, it's actually that we are God's inheritance. And that was what they would say of Israel, that Israel was God's special possession. They were His special people. So it's not necessarily what you're receiving, it's that the church's purpose is that we are God's special people. Did you know that you're His prized possession? Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes we don't feel very prized. The knowledge that you are a special possession of God. Not just you, but the church. The body of Christ is His special possession. So he's talking about hope, an inheritance, which it's God's possession. And three, power. And what I thought was interesting is, he's not praying that they would have power. He's praying that they would know the power they already have. So you and I need to maybe be careful how we pray. We may be saying, Lord, give me more power. But no, may I know the power I've already got in you. You've already given me every spiritual blessing. But am I taking advantage of that? May they know the power of God and the fullness of God. So then he goes on and layers every kind of word for power that you can do to emphasize this. And he says, and he gives three examples. It's like when God raised Jesus from the dead, and then when God caused him to rise and to be ascended to the right hand of the Father, and then he put everything under his feet, all of creation, so that no name is above him. You remember we had that illustration last week where they were showing like Christ's arm around everything. Christ is in all and be all. So the knowledge that your dad is bigger than all the other dads. Yeah, as we say on the playground, my dad can beat up your dad. Well, my dad's the biggest dad. He has the power. So what's interesting is this doesn't give a clear purpose Some people would say, well, there's a missionary purpose, or there is that the church is going to fill the whole earth, kind of this post-millennial view. And that's not necessarily what this is saying, but that everything is going to come under him eventually. We have this hope. So hope is what we don't have yet. That's this weird dynamic. We have the now and the not yet as a church. But I think what he's trying to lay groundwork here is saying, you're going to hit these really big conflicts. Do you guys see the news? Does it make you a little scared when you see the news these days? Do you feel like, gosh, are we winning or are we not? You know, there's lots of bad stuff happening. And you could start to despair and say, where's the victory in the church? Where you know, what's going on? But God said in Revelation, things are going to get worse before the end. It's not going to just keep getting better, better, better till the whole world's subsumed. There's going to be a massive rebellion. There's going to be a confrontation, and Christ is going to return. But I want you to have this hope. And you have all the power to do what I've asked you to do. Jesus did say, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And you may say, how can I do that? I don't have the power. Yes, you do. And you have the hope. You are his treasured possession. You are valuable. The church is valuable. You as part of the church. So as you guys are going here to Circle Church, which is we break into groups, and if you're a visitor, I think John will share at the end where that visitor group is. But my heart for you today would be for you as a group to say, how are we going to pray this week? This is a prayer. You know, you can pray this for yourself, but you can pray this for others. Lord, may we know you, and may we know our purpose. May we know you, and may we know our purpose. May we not be aimless or getting absorbed by our jobs and our families and our worries and our concerns and all that junk. May we really know what we're about and who we're about. And we can be praying that, and that is a legitimate prayer. God will answer that. So I would hope that, yeah, there is the sickness, there is the illness, there are the daily bread issues, right? But may our prayers as a group and as individuals not be absorbed in daily bread. If we look at the Lord's Prayer, how many other lines of it are there? Lots. I remember when we did that series a couple years ago, the whole first half of the prayer is God and his glory and his will being done. And there's a little bit. He does care about your daily bread and your temptations and delivering you from evil. But that's second half stuff. So let's not get to that before we sit before him and we say, Lord, may we know you. May we know your will. May your will be done here on this earth through us, your church. So I would encourage you in your groups to unpack that a bit today and to pray that for one another. So let me close in prayer, and then John's going to come up and give us a couple announcements. Lord, if we got this, I think Paul realized it. If we knew in our hearts, if our eyes of our hearts were opened, if the church was unleashed in all the power you've given us, all the authority you've given us, all the riches you've given us, all the hope and power, it would be quite a sight. Lord, I pray this week that each and every one here, if they don't know you, that they would come to know you first as their Lord and Savior. But second, for those of us that know you, that we would just develop that relationship with you, that we would sit in your presence, that we would relish the fact that we get to go before the King of the universe without having to go through a priest, that Jesus is our high priest now. We got access to the Lord of the universe who wants to be with us, who treasures us, calls us his treasured possession. Lord, may we know that this week. May we know the hope, the riches, the power. In Jesus' name, amen.